W8MU.
KE8RUH.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing today?
Not bad. Oh, had to replace the water tank. Did that. Took yesterday off. So, starting my week.
Did you do it or did you have it done?
My son and I did it.
Fantastic. You probably saved a ton of money. I know I've been threatening to do mine, and I got to do the same thing. I want to get it done soon because my dad definitely knows how to do it, and if I wait too much longer, I'll have to get it done, and he may not be interested in helping me. So, yeah, I'll probably do mine in the next year or so, just as preventative maintenance.
Yeah, if you catch it when you, at your convenience, you know, then save you the grief. If they go, they go catastrophic and flood your basement or whatever it is, really be a mess or a leak or, you know, be a little mess, but really they're not that bad if you don't have to, like I bought the exact same one that I had, exactly. So I didn't have to redo the plumbing. The plumbing was, you know, perfect. And although I see they're doing flexible pipes in and out now, and I think I will probably change to that before this one is, you know, done. In fact, I might redo all my plumbing. My plumbing is so ancient, half copper, half galvanized, and I got to get it all replaced, I think. That I will not do. I'll have somebody do that. But when I have that done, I'll have both my gas line and my plumbing all done the way I want it. But I got to think about, you know, certain things. You know, there may be changes in the way I do things.
Yep, that's one of those big undertakings that you got to make good decisions because you're going to have to live with them forever.
Yeah, it's not like electrical either. You can't just say, more outlets. Just put them on every wall, 2 foot apart, or whatever. You do the same with the plumbing. That way I always, yeah, no, it doesn't work that way. No, but anyhow, I should probably, both the gas inlet and the water in and out on my water tank are rigid. And so, you know, everything has to match right up or you're doing real plumbing. Whereas, you know, I notice now they use these flexible lead-ins and out for the gas and water. And, you know, you could be flexible in what you get within a range.
Yeah, everyone loves that PEX stuff, that flexible pipe. It's supposed to work really well.
Have you ever worked with it? Have you done connectors, and how hard are they to get right?
No, I have not. I haven't. Luckily, have not had any plumbing projects big enough that I needed to rerun anything like that.
Yeah, I don't know if I want to. I want to learn on a replumb on my house, but I wouldn't mind figuring that out. You know, I've sweated a pipe or two and, you know, cut and threaded some galvanized or black pipe in my, you know, a little bit here and there. So, I mean, I'm familiar with the process, but, you know, I know what to do, and I know what I don't want to do, right? That's the most important thing. I know what I'm not willing to tackle. With the PEX, I have no idea. And so I don't know if it's something. It would seem to me You know, as long as you have whatever the right dressing tool is, it'd be possibly easier to work with. But, you know, that's a guess.
Yeah, logic would say that it'd be way easier to work with. But I have never I've never used it. But I would imagine, you know, once you get the hang of making those connections, that it is a lot easier to use. Otherwise, people wouldn't be using it at the level that they are.
Hey, CBS.
There's a guy that's probably used it.
Good morning.
What have you used? Have you ever ran PEX, the plumbing new style pipe that everybody's using? Sean and I were just talking about it, and he was asking if I've ever done the connectors or anything, and I have not.
Yeah, just make sure you got a decent crimper and the good connectors, and you're fine. It's pretty straightforward. So it's all about the tools, yeah. Yeah, I was just explaining. I've sweated pipes. I've cut pipe and threaded it, you know, and I've been pretty much all old school plumbing. And I know I don't like it. Don't necessarily want to do it. But the PEX is looks intriguing. Looks like maybe a DIYer could pull it off, but I don't know. Is that like PVC in that you glue things together at all, or is it all cut thread and connector?
Go ahead, Dakota.
I'm probably noisy because I can barely hear you guys, but no, there's no glue involved with PEX. Well, you are rock solid. Which machine are you on? I'm 50 watts to Richmond, but I just have a ton of fry coming in.
Hey guys, I'm going to hop out and get gas in a second here. I'll hop back in when I'm back in the car.
All right, well, the guy said there seemed to be a problem at Richmond, and that may be it. Because you're rock solid, you're full quieting, so you should be hearing it really, really well. Because it's putting 110 back at you. So you got 50 watts in, and you're full quieting, and it's got 110 back to you. There's no excuse for that, so might be a problem.
I'll switch to Romeo when I get clear of town here, but yeah, I've been wondering if it's my antenna or I don't know what, but I have kind of the same result full truck, so I'm gonna rule out the antenna. I have that duplexer. I don't know if you want to walk me through it or lend me a connector, but I tried tuning it, and I don't have the right stuff. I also had no idea what the hell I was doing, so I have that thing with me, and I think I've been over my head with a nano VNA, and if that doesn't work, I might just set up a simplex node for the time being.
I mean, you can give it to me, and I can try to sneak it on the bench. You know, if it's just a matter of a connector, I don't know what you're missing. You know, I could do that too. I'll leave it to you. I mean, what do you want to do? So however you want to get it done.
I watched a couple videos on YouTube. None of them were super great, and came to the realization of I have a PL259 dummy load. I don't have an end connector dummy load, and I don't have any adapters. I have adapters, but not enough to do that. So, I don't know. It's up to you. My only concern is I don't do it right, and then it sounds like crap or doesn't work good.
Well, you probably don't have the connector for it, but there's a simple test you can run to figure out if you did it right or not. So, check for G-Sense with a ISO-T, but you probably don't have an ISO-T. And you can make one pretty easy, but... And then you got to have the right... You can't do it with a VNA. You need a... you need something that pumps out a little bit more signal than that. Anyhow, yeah, just get it to me, and I'll work it out. I've been having some trouble with that kind of stuff lately, but I'll figure it out.
Yeah, I remember you telling me that it's frowned upon, some along those lines. But yeah, I'll get it to you, and you can, if you can, I'd appreciate it. If not, I might just return this one and order one that's pre-tuned. I don't know. It seems like it should be very simple, but I just don't have the right stuff to do it. That's the hard part.
Oh, it's not. And no, you don't have to return it or tuned. I don't know that they'll. Yeah, it's not hard to do, but just gotta find the opportunity.
I watched the videos I watched, so there was a couple with a nano VNA, and they were basically just like opening a squelch on the radio. And I'm like, I guess maybe you could do that. I don't know. But I don't have enough cables. That's the other problem. And then the rest of them that I watched, they had, what is it, the Rigel spectrum analyzer thing that was super sweet. And, like, you could see the refresh on it was crazy.
Yeah, I don't know what they're using in the videos you're watching or what they're doing with the VNAs, but we use tracking generators, and it basically just sweeps the frequencies in and around the frequency and you're working on, and then the spectrum analyzer and the device, the spectrum analyzer with tracking generator, the spectrum analyzer literally just paints a picture of the passband that you're looking at. You can literally see the notch move, and you just center that notch with those adjustments exactly over your frequency, and once you got those exactly over the frequency, then you're there. It's pretty simple.
Yeah, I'd rather buy you lunch and take your precision over me winging it.
All righty. Well, don't worry about it. Just find a way to get it to me. Where are you at now, by the way?
37 Mile Road. I'm about 30 minutes away from the office, so I don't know if I'll be in the vicinity of you at the same time, but honestly, I might just run down there then.
Yeah, I'm out ahead of things pretty early this morning. I'm already at Freedom Hill, so whatever, we'll figure it out around lunchtime or something like that. Whatever's convenient for you, let me know.
All right, I appreciate it. I told Wyatt about it. He got pretty excited, so I've been hearing him on the air quite a bit to give him something to RF into, because what did he say he had? He's getting an Anytone 778, and I think he's got an HT of some sort.
Well, there you go. Do you know where he is from you? I know he's up your way, but do you know specifically where? How far is he?
I think he's about 7 miles away from me, so not too far. I am back, gentlemen.
All gassed up and ready to go.
Yep. We'll be able to drive back and forth to work the rest of the week now. I will not. I just got in my truck this morning after not driving it for the last couple days, and of course I have like a quarter tank. Maybe we lost Sean to coffee.
Oh, no, you lost me staring into the back of a garbage truck that's going too slow on 16-mile road. And I was mesmerized by my plans to get around them.
So I'm getting multiple reports of a body laying in the middle of M53 on northbound at 23-mile road, so we'll see what my commute looks like here.
Well, that sounds interesting. Quite the way to start your morning, I guess. My goodness.
Yeah. Huh. Wonder what that's all about.
I don't know. The story will come out, I'm sure, today, but from what I'm hearing, there's a box truck on the shoulder. So it's sounding like someone may or may not have jumped off the overpass.
That is terrible. Oh, man, I don't know. That's awful.
What a lousy way for somebody to end their day, WDAPIC, near Toledo. Yeah, good morning. It is, I'll tell you. Man, an overpass, that just seems to me the chance that you could survive really, really messed up is too high to pick that way. Man, that's a hell of a way to go.
Yeah, that would not be my first choice. Sorry for the somber announcement, but I don't know if anyone commuting in that area, just a heads up. And, Anthony, I have the jackets.
All right, I'll let you know if I can get over that way at all today, and we'll see if we can connect. Otherwise, it might just have to be Friday. But I am pulling up at the office here, so I'll listen out. Everybody have a good day. KE8RUH.
All right, Anthony, we'll catch you later. And if I can help in any way with the jackets, let me know. I know Anthony and I are on the road at the same time, usually in the afternoon. So it wouldn't be terribly hard for us to connect on his route home. And PIC, I don't remember the name. I know we've talked before. What machine are you hitting right now?
I am on 6.
I'm guessing you mean 442.6?
Correct.
All right. Yeah, very good, because I know we're not connected up, Dakota, FYI. So, Richmond, Romeo, Warren, West Bloomfield.
I noticed that yesterday. Yeah,
so
those aren't
connected this morning?
Yeah, that's correct. The 4 FBI repeaters are connected. Richmond, Romeo, West Bloomfield, Warren, and the Central Michigan repeaters remain connected, but the 2 systems are not connected together.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I've been listening for a while. I don't know anything about the text you were talking about earlier. I have plastic plumbing in the house, but it's not texting.
Right. Okay, all of a sudden you're getting kind of noisy, so I don't know what happened there, but you went from real solid to pretty noisy. Dakota?
Still trying to figure out the bacon fry on receive in my truck. I mean, it's fine now, but I feel like it's getting worse, and I don't know. I mean, I haven't watched this thing since September, so that could be it, but I can transmit fine. So you'd think if I can transmit fine, I should be able to hear no problem.
Well, I just switched over. I'm here on Grosbeck, north of 16th, coming into the Clem, and I can hear Richmond and Romeo about equal. Very, very, very little popcorn. They sound very workable to me.
I mean, there really might just be that much of a hole in the first part of my commute where I have a hard time getting good signal over there. Because, as soon as I got south of town, it was fine.
This is Bravo Papa. Hey, guys. Do anybody of you know where the West Bloomfield repeater of MPI is located, and what's your frequency, MPI? WAPPA, over.
Yeah, you're getting quite noisy, so detailed conversations are going to be difficult for all of us commuters in the car and all that, but I think he asked about the West Bloomfield. It's right now it's at the owner's house, so it doesn't have a very good footprint. I'm pretty sure you're not going to be able to work it. He lost his one site, and he's working on his next site. I heard you asking something about that repeater. Okay, with that, we're going to check you out. Come back again sometime. But anyhow, Dakota, just getting ready to go in here and get my coffee. So I'm in that last mile.
All right, depending on how long I'm in this traffic jam on 53, I can see the helicopters and everything now, too. So probably should have jumped off, but it looks like it's creeping. If this doesn't take me too long, I'm just going to burn right down to your shop and drop this off, if that's okay.
I'll leave that up to you. That's what you want to do, that's fine. You know, it's however you want to do it. And if you let me, give me a heads up when you think that'll be. When you have to get out of the truck, just roll down the window. Yeah, it must be that 23-mile road thing, eh? What else would it be, right?
I'll be as incog as I can be, and yeah, 100%, which is, I'm surprised it's this backed up on the southbound side. Clearly they have northbound shut down because there's not a single car, but I don't know why the southbound's this slow.
It makes me thankful that I am not able to drive WAPIC.
It can be annoying. Anyhow, I am up at the order window. I will be right back. W8FU.
That is definitely annoying, especially driving as much as I do. Adds up quick as far as miles and taking care of vehicles, paying for vehicles, time spent behind a damn wheel.
And the cost of the cost of the insurance.
That's what makes me the most mad, is what I pay in insurance premiums for two brand new vehicles with two drivers that have no points, no tickets, no records. And it's like, well, what? I get literally nothing out of it, and if I do use it, I get penalized.
Oh, don't even get me going on insurance. I battled my whole life with, first I was young, so my insurance was expensive because I was young and inexperienced. Then I had a young family, and so there was, excuse, you were still relatively young. Then I had kids, driving age. there's always some reason why my insurance is outrageous. Now that I'm, you know, I'm older, my kids are gone, I'm not insuring anybody else, I've got a perfect record, I made it all the way, so now I'm old. So, you know, they raise the price again. It's like, they've always got a reason to keep your prices up beyond this guy.
They have to make their profit.
At the Ponzi scheme, it's just fishy and so outrageous. I pay $360 a month for two vehicles, full coverage, that have, like I said, perfect records, no points, no nothing, good drivers, full-time employees, everything that's going for us, doesn't matter. You just pay through the nose.
Well, the rates have to be set, you know, let's not kid ourselves, you know, they say the rates are set for this reason or that reason. The rates are set so that your corporate profits can hit what the target you want. That's what they're set for. Don't give me no bullshit about they're set, you know, because, you know, this zip code or this, you know, or your credit report, or you know, you got kids, you don't got kids, you're too young, you're too old. Don't bullshit me. You set your rate so that the corporate profits at the end of the year match your expectations.
That's just it. And Michigan being a no-fault state, I mean, I'm sure that plays into that whole profitability thing too. What's that? There's that Michigan Emergency Traffic Fund or something that's got like gazillions of unknown money in it, and we'll probably never ever see it used. Like, probably enough money to fix every road.
I don't know. I don't. You know, I've heard Michigan's got, you know, horrible auto insurance rates, and I've been living with pretty, you know, what I consider to be crazy rates. And so, you know, I believe it, I guess, but I don't dig into it, and it just makes me mad. Nothing I can do about it. So I don't even know. I don't look into it. I just grit my teeth and pay it every month.
That's the worst part, is there's nothing you can do about it. Either you drive illegally without insurance and risk not being able to fix your vehicle if you get in an accident, or you suck it up and pay the bill.
Yeah, I mean, I got, I heard you talk about what you're paying. I'm paying like $200 a month, $225 a month. That's for one full coverage SUV. It's an Escape, no less. It's not even a, you know, $100,000 car or anything. It's a, you know, full coverage on that. Now, you know, I got road service and rental, and, you know, my deductibles are low and all that stuff. You know, all the things that you go, oh, you know, that raises your, you know, rate right there. You know, yeah, everything does. And then a utility trailer. I mean, that's literally all I have on that. And I pay $225 a month. Unbelievable.
You're missing out on the multi-vehicle discount on the policy, and that was 1,000% a body under a white blanket at the 23, I don't know, this is weird, it's like in the middle of the highway, probably a quarter mile away from the overpass, so my theory is debunked.
Yeah, that's weird. I wonder if they were just wandering around and got hit or dumped. I don't know. Crazy.
I don't know, that's weird. Welcome to, I don't even know where is that, Shelby Township? That's kind of bizarre.
Morning, Jerry.
What happened to this Detroit site, LTS?
Now, our repeaters aren't connected to that repeater anymore.
Oh, okay. Oh, it's too bad. That was the easiest one for me to get into. I'm paying $600 a month for four vehicles and an RV trailer.
That's honestly I think that's pretty fair. That's not terrible. I can't remember what we paid when we had two vehicles in the camper, but it was probably on par with that, $350-$400. At the time, though, the truck I was driving, even though it was a giant truck and more expensive than any of my other trucks, it was only $100 a month to insure it. It was awesome.
All right, I just pulled up. Let me slip inside. I'll get on the radio from inside in a bit. I got to go get inside and unlock. W8FU.
Hey, I made a mistake. It was $500. I made a one-time payment of $6,000.
Yeah, that's rough. I'm not looking forward. I got three kids that are all going to be driving at the same time, so that's going to cost me a fortune.
Yeah, I've been there. Yeah, my youngest is 30 now, so maybe that's why it got a little cheaper.
And the way these companies work, at least in Michigan, if you have drivers of age in the house, but they're not assigned to a vehicle, they get assigned to a vehicle if the vehicle does not have a driver.
Okay. All right, well, I'm at Menards. I'm going to run here and pick up a couple of sale items. Yeah, I just thought I'd throw that in there, what I'm paying. I'm in Wayne County, so I don't know. It's supposed to be one of the worst for auto insurance. I guess if I was 3 or 4 miles south in Monroe County,
I've heard that, too, that Wayne County's got really bad rates. But, all right, well, happy shopping, and I'll catch you later. NADDF.
CHHS.
Hold K, I'm listening.
I just got on 59, so I'm going to burn that way.
All right, yeah, give me a heads up. I'll catch you in the lot off the garage doors.
Are you on Grossbeck or Elizabeth?
Yes.
All right, I'll see you in a bit. NADDF.
Go south on Elizabeth. And then when you get to the jail, turn right just before it, and I'll be on the left just past it.
That's what I thought. It's been a minute since I've been there. All right, I'm 5 from my office, so probably, I don't know, 8 from you, maybe 10.
Okay, very good. I'll keep the radio with me. But wander though now, so walking away from the phone here. W8FU.
NADDF.
NADDF Mobile.
So, making sure everything still works.
Yeah, it sounds like it's still doing its job.
Yeah, now I got to get one in the second car. I got so many miles on my truck. My wife got a new car, and I took over her Explorer. I'm going to drive that one into the ground. But I don't got a radio in it, so I gotta find something that'll fit in an Explorer nicely and get that installed.
Well, the tight MD9600 is a pretty good bang for the buck.
Yeah, I'm still kind of bummed because I had I have a FTM 500 and Dakota sold his, and I looked at my phone and I'm like, why did Dakota call? And I forgot to call him back. And then the next day on the radio, I was like, sorry, I sold my FTM 500. I gave you first shot though, but you didn't pick up. So I lost the opportunity to get a second one.
Well, is that the all mode, the 500? It does HF, and then, what is it, 2 meter, 440?
No, it's just a dual band 50 watt. It has a nice display on it. I got the, it has a removable head too, so like in my truck, I got the main base mounted inside my console, and then above the radio, I got the head mounted there, so. But yeah, just dual band, but it's a nice radio. I mean, it has its problems for sure, but I'm a Yaesu fanboy.
Well, I am as well. After that's what I got here is I got an FTM 310 DRASP. You know, it's got the fusion on it. So I really like it.
Yeah, for HF, I had the FT710. I love that radio. I have a 7300. I like that. Nothing against Vicom. I think they're great radios, but I just kept partial to the Yaesu. But so far it's working. But yeah, that's the next thing. Got to get a radio in the other car. Because yeah, for the most part, my truck sits now for the week. So.
Yeah, I want to get another radio. My wife's got a newer car. Getting rid of the Escalade. So, and there's nothing in there, plus the power ports don't work, and they just went kaput on me one day, and I never looked into why. I already checked the fuse, and it's not that, so, you know, I'm done with that. But, I gotta put a GMRS in there for her, and then, find another, MD9600 that I can put in there for me.
Yeah, I do have a 9600 mounted by my desk at in my office, but I wish that had a removable faceplate. That would be, then that radio would be perfect. So, but just a little too big. I don't really have a spot to put it in the Explorer. I really need the detachable head. I'll probably just watch for someone getting rid of an FTM 500. They have a weird power supply issue when they're cold. You kind of hear like a little noise from the speaker. Drives me a little crazy, but it goes away pretty quick, so I just got to find someone irritated enough and get another one of those. So on your guys' net meetings, are you still meeting on Thursday at 7, I think it is?
Yeah, 7 p.m. on the 47.2.
And when's the in-person? Is there like a fixed day every month?
Third Thursday of every month. So I think next week is it.
Yeah, I'm still trying to come out there, but man, something just keeps coming up. It doesn't end. Every time I turn around, like, there's a new thing on the schedule. I always thought when, you know, it's amazing when I was like 20 and 30, I had much more time than I do now. Now, like, the kids are older, like, there's just all this crap going on that you can't get out of anymore.
Yeah, I'm the same way. Until my kids are younger, we had dance and we had soccer, equestrian meet.
Yeah, of course, starting this week, it gets a little bit easier because my my youngest son was the outlier. He does karate, and he had an early class, but now he just tested and got his next brown belt, second Q, I think. And now he's in the 8 p.m. class. So my son's hockey practice is late. His is late, which actually works out better. I'd much rather it be later in the day than trying to cram everything in when everyone's winding down from work. So I guess gets at least bright side, gets a little bit easier. How's everything going on your side? Good?
Oh, just going to Warren at 9 Mile and Mound. Check out this warehouse and see why they have a car reader that's not working for some silly reason. I'm hoping it's not the one for the rail dock door, because that's 20 some odd feet over the rail. And not tuned to going in a lift to take care of it. And then that's it so far until they throw something else at us.
Yeah, I don't like those lifts. I remember when I was younger and I worked with Eric, I had to do I had to fix an overhead crane at a steel mill at Aiton Sherwood. And the crane was like stuck in between where you could climb up to it, so I had to take a lift. So they put me up in this genie, probably 30, 40 feet in the air, I'd say. And we're about 12 inches from the crane, and I go, you're going to get me the rest of the way there? He goes, this is as close as it goes. And being young in a steel mill, you know, those are all tough guys, so of course I throw my tools on it, and then I just do kind of the hangover and swing onto the crane. I can't believe they let me do it to this day, but yeah, I never liked lifts after that.
Yeah, I don't do boom lifts. I used to do scissor lifts once in a blue moon. I'm done with that. You know, they put me on a mezzanine, which was 30 feet in the air, and they had the scissor lift to get me the other 20 feet up to a 50-foot roof to pull, you know, 9 camera cables. And that was ridiculous. Yeah, but now I'm too old for that crap. Even my coworker, he's a couple years younger than me. He's starting, you know, he doesn't mind it. He doesn't really want to do it, but he'll do it if he has to. And we just did, like, 7 cameras over in Romulus. The cameras were 40 feet in the air. We had a 65-foot boom. And a couple of them were over dock doors. Of course, there's got to be a semi-trailer there. So, there's a little bit of time, a little bit of effort, but got it done on a cool day.
Yeah, that's no fun. Our place I worked, we had these cameras installed, and they're exactly like you described. Over on Whitcom there, and I'm watching the guys install it, and I'm like, yep, nope. You know, ladders, like they were on ladders putting it up. They were crazy. And ladders I definitely don't do. I don't mind going up on the ladder. The thing I'm actually paranoid about is not really falling per se. It's having a heart attack or passing out or something. Like something stupid like that is actually what worries me more than anything, being on ladders.
Oh, yeah, I get it. You know, being up there isn't the problem. It's, you know, coming down and, you know, being ground at a certain rate of speed. You know, I already fell out of the back of a truck before I even started this job. And, yeah, that took me out for 6 months.
All right, well, I'm just getting to my house here. I got to go start my work day, so I will chat later. Nice talking to you. And, yeah, enjoy the rest of your day. I'll be clear on your final.
All right, dude. I'll be out and about as usual. You know me. So, yeah, check out the website, MacombARPSE.org, and it gives all the dates and times for our radio nets and our in-person nets. So, check it out. It's really cool how John's got it all set up. Have a good one. 73-88-KJL.
Hey, This is KSHFKH.
Summertime. Gee, Peter.
KE8WUO. W-U-O.
K-C-K-J-O. W-A-F-U.
K-C-K-J-O.
What's happening?
One last sight at 19 and Van Dyke, and then done.
Look at you go. It's getting better and better, and it's nice today. I don't know if it's, did we get the 40s? Hold on, let me look here.
Oh, yeah, you know, you're in the growth stick. And according to my automobile, yes. According to the automobile, we're in the 40s.
Yeah, I think the last time I looked, I think it hit maybe 48, and it's 45 right now here on M53, or M59, or whatever, whole road.
Well, I just got out on the road, so I don't know where my thermometer is going to settle, but it's reading 46 right now, but I just got rolling. It usually goes up a couple or down a couple, depending on things. Anyhow, clearly in the 40s, but cool. So you gotta, sounds like you're getting off at a reasonable time, and well, it depends how much time you gotta spend at your next stop, but it sounds like you're gonna be in the area and getting off at a reasonable time, so that's gotta be good with the weather being nicer.
Oh, yeah. I said it's a build trap that's got an issue, so we'll figure that out. Hopefully I got batteries for it, if that's what it is. I think a camera that needs adjusting. That's about it, and then just toodle my happy little barrier back to my little corner of the county.
Hey, so camera question. I've got a, now these are cheap, you know, Reolink, consumer grade, you know, Amazon cameras, but I got one that's, it's 180 degrees. And so it's actually two cameras that are stitched together. Do they have anything like that in the commercial world?
Are you talking about four cameras that show a 360 view? And they're four separate IPs and four separate cameras in one dome.
Well, this is basically two cameras in one housing, and it gives 180. So, you know, I have that one pointing at my backyard, so I can see, you know, along the back of my house, you know, a straight line on the back of my house, and then, you know, a full 180 degrees. So it's two cameras, 180. But, yeah, same concept. And they stitch them together in the middle. And it was perfectly fine. I couldn't see anything. But then all of a sudden, I don't know what happened, you know, they got out of alignment, and I was able to align them, and, but still, there's, like, the exposure seems different on each one now. It seems like, you know, under certain lighting conditions, one seems to be more, you know, light-sensitive than the other or something, and it's like, you know, one side will be a little washed out. It's very obvious now, whereas in the past, I could never tell. It was stitched together really well, and the exposure was the same on all of them. I'm just wondering, can those all be, you know, can there be something out of whack in the camera itself, or is that usually all electrically resolved?
If it's two different IPs, it means it's two different cameras, but you have two different settings. Make sure that your white balance is turned off. Autofocus is set for, you know, on for autofocus. And give that a shot. And there should be an option if you go in there. I know they're, you know, lowering cameras, but the better majority have an option. You can go in there and reboot the camera.
Well, this is a single IP, so they're treating it as a single camera. And, there might be a calibrate or a reset or something like that. I should look for that first and see if there's a way to, like, give it an enema.
Most of them do. I mean, you just go on there and do reboot camera or reset. It should be like an auto adjustment, and that way it'll, you know, auto focus, and the white balance will auto out. Just make sure your white balance is turned off, because you're not in a super bright area, super dark area. You know, it's got IR on it. So if that doesn't work, all else is pull the power on it, leave it off for 1 minute, and then plug it back into the POE.
I believe I've tried that, so I'm not going to get away that easy. But all right, it's not important. It works fine. It's just a little annoying because you can, you know, for the longest time, you know, you couldn't even tell it was two cameras stitched together, but now you can kind of tell. And so, you know, I just like to get it back to where it was. Anywho, enough on all that.
I got fish eyes that go goofy like that. You know, check and see if it's got a double stream on it or not, too, where you got camera one stream, camera two stream, or something like that. When I said all else fails, just if you can find the factory default is, and then just reset it up, your NVR should see it and pick it up if you're using dynamic on it.
Yepers will do. Yeah, I got four cameras. I don't know how in the hell I got to be a four-camera household. Actually, I got five, technically. Six, actually. I got two real cheap little indoor ones. And, one just watches. Usually, if I want to know where the cat is, the cat's usually sleeping in the basement. I got that one. I know the area she likes to be in. Generally, I can go to that one camera. Although she's been going upstairs lately, in the half story. It's kind of a finished attic kind of thing. I got to move that camera up there because that's where she's been going lately. Cat cam. Is she in or is she out? There she is. Okay, she's in. I'm going to bed. Aside from cat cam and office cam, I got four real cameras, I guess, if you will. And two of them are pan tilt zoom and cover two corners. Then I got that 181 that just statically covers the back, and then a doorbell cam. you know, I never figured I'd be, you know, a goofy camera guy.
Oh, I had the same when I lived in Sterling Heights. I had a camera that watched the back of the house, and I had that mounted on the garage with a direct burial going back to the recorder inside the house. Then I had another one in the front of the house that was a little bullet camera, and I mounted it right above the gutter, and you couldn't see it because it was the same color as the gutter, and it covered the whole front yard. So one Halloween, Devil's Night, my house got TP'd, and found out it was the neighbor kids and my wife's best friend that did it all.
She called up and said, hey, can you come pick up your toilet paper?
No, we returned the favor.
There you go. Just having some fun with it. Oh, man. Yep. I used to, back when I was a kid, you know, we've always been known as a Buckeye house, and during the game, depending on who won, you'd always have crap planted all it. Even if it didn't win, you know, a little bit before the game, you know, you'd come out, and you know, we come out in the morning, and somebody's got a big U of M thing on our front lawn, and you know, we do the same to them, and you know, particularly if your team won and theirs lost, you'd go, you know, plant a flag on their front lawn. That went back and forth for, seemed like my whole youth.
K-E-8-R-U-H. Hello, Anthony. Got Sean and E out here. Take it up, KCK Joe. I got to step out and do this bank.
It's like summertime out here. I'm going to have to stop and spray my car off on the way home.
I know, right? I was thinking about doing the same. But I hope it, I was hoping it would melt the snow a little bit better than it did. They got some big piles in my work lot, and we've lost, I think we reclaimed one of the spots, but we've got one spot that's still just where they, I had some signs put in. You might have remembered the whole sign fiasco. And now as a result, the truck can't, you know, come through there with the big blade as easily, and they took out one whole parking spot. It's the closest one up by the door. So I've been hoping that it would warm up enough for that to clear. We've been dealing with it for weeks now.
Yeah, those piles usually last till late spring, but I hear ya. Yeah, man, I might, I'm definitely going to drive past the quarter wash. We'll see how busy it is. If it's not too busy, I am going to wash my car. I wish I was just a normal person that could wash. I'd love to run through a regular car wash, and if I didn't have antennas and a roof rack on the car.
Oh yeah, that's the single biggest thing that keeps me from doing it. I'm like, I should get the car wash. I'm like, oh man, then I got to get out there and I got to pull the antennas and. That's why most of the time on my personal car, I just run a quarter wave UHF. I can run that through the car wash. At most, it just kind of bends over a little, you know, just give it a little nudge and it's back working. That's why I love the quarter wave UHF. And all this talk about, you know, I need multi-band, you know, and all this stuff. I don't really, you know. Usually if there's something I need to do on VHF, I find a UHF alternative. Or put one in.
Yeah, you definitely have that ability to just create your own solution.
Well, more and more people can, you know, as All-Star becomes more and more prevalent, I hope more and more people get into it. You know, see, there's really no excuse for a repeater not having All-Star on it. You don't have to use it to link, but, you know, just if nothing else, just to be able to use your personal node to, you know, log in. Let's say I want to talk to my buddies over on the Livonia repeater or something like that, and so you know, I could take my node, connect up, chat with them and all that stuff, disconnect. So it's a great idea. So I just think, you know, right now there's a lot of people are a little, you know, they're not comfortable with it,
so you know they don't wanna do it. But I think this, when people get into it and they find out how easy it is to get an all-star node working, you know, so I can hook that up to my repeater exact same way. Exactly. You know, more and more people get all-star on their repeaters, but there's almost no excuse for it anymore. Yeah, I know people say, ah, I don't need it, I don't want it. Well, yeah, I hear you, but you'd use it, trust me.
Oh, I love having my node in the house. I made it so that I could just walk around the house on an HT and talk into wherever I want to talk into. It's pretty nice.
Yeah, you know, we really had to do it with coverage, you know. And, you know, for the longest time, there was no Romeo, no Richmond. Phil's machine was kind of off on its own. And, you know, so there was the 2.6, and then everybody would connect to it with their nodes. And, you know, so, you know, nowadays you need an anchor. I firmly believe that you should have an anchor, you know, and then, you know, off of that, you know, whether it be a network or whether it be one solid repeater or even your own little personal one. But there should be some anchor. And then, you know, and then all start to, you know, for people to, you know, which anchor do they want to go hang off of, you know, and you know, it would be real easy. And then, you know, especially nice for, you know, for homebound people, you know, people that, you know, can't put up antennas, covenants, restrictive covenants, you know, they can get an all-star node and they can tool around and, you know, go here, go there, talk to people. It's, you know, be wonderful for people like that. And you can do, you know, a lot more with it, too, you know, with all these remotable HF stations and all that. It's just the, you know, the end equipment. You know, you got to have an HF rig with a multiband antenna and a tuner and all that stuff, you know, if you really want to do it right. And it gets more involved.
Yeah, I was talking a little bit with Dakota this morning. I know he's trying to do a repeater. But it's also talked about just doing a, like a simplex node with a mobile unit, which is pretty cool. I was talking to him trying to figure out what it would take for me to do something like that, and then I would be able to, you know, talk in throughout the whole neighborhood most likely. That could work really good to fill in my area until we get something up down there. And it could be a pretty cool little project. And honestly, I think I have everything with the exception of a data cable that would connect the node to the radio. So just got to figure out what I want to do and if that's something that makes sense, because it'd be pretty fun.
Yeah, it's pretty simple. You just, you know, you got a radio and you have a, you know, some sort of a computer to run the All-Star software. I'm leaning toward x86 based boxes. You know, that's why I run the little Weiss boxes that we picked up from you. And I like those. Just they're more robust than a Pi. Pis tend to be a little persnickety. And, but you can do a Pi. There's no reason. You know, I just say keep an SD, you know, as soon as you get a good working image, make a copy and tape it to the bottom of that darn Pi because, you know, they're going to lunch cards. They do it. You start off with a good high quality card, your likelihood is much lower, but still. But yeah, the interface is just nothing more than a USB sound card that you can get in and pick off the, you know, you can find COR and push to talk on. You know, that's the key. You have to, be able to find those. The CM108 has those functions. You just have to kind of bring them out. There's guys that sell them. You know, I like the repeater builder, Rim Lights. I forget what I paid for the last one. I just, as a matter of fact, you talked about Dakota's, the repeater sitting right here on the floor, and the duplexer, it's all right here right now. I just got to really get it hooked up and get the duplexer tuned up and it'll be good to go. I just, it just seems like one thing after another. I was sick, you know, and then, I was real busy when I got back, you know, and then I was going to work on this weekend. My water tank goes. It's like, my God, it's like, it's just, you know, it's like it's a little bit of time. You know, I could get this thing knocked out for him.
Yeah, everything has seemed super busy lately. I don't know why. I think you know, part of it is dealing with these short days. You know, the daylight is short still, so in our minds, the days are short. It's not like in the summer where you're ready to go all day and, you know, you got 5 or 6 hours after that before you even think about going to bed.
Oh, yeah. No, that's huge, man. The short day and the winter blues and all that. But you know what? We are, we're on the uphill side now. You know, we got through all of January and a good portion of February, and, you know, we got to get through the rest, you know, next couple of 3 weeks, you know, through February, and then whatever March throws at us. March will throw something weird at us. It always does. And, we're coming up pretty close on getting through it.
Yep, we are certainly getting there. It's only going to get better from here. It's been quite the grind this year, though.
Yeah, well, this winter, I think, is, it's way, you know, beyond typical, you know, so it's not just another, you know, another bad one as far as cold temps and all that stuff, but it's way on the abnormal side. And so it's made it particularly difficult. I mean, literally all of January, there was literally no good days there. Might have been one or two. Speaking of which, I'm going by Parlor Donuts now, the new one that just opened here. You know what? I think we're kind of done with them. You know, I went in there again the second time after that time you told me. And I went in there again, and I got everything I thought my wife would like. And I got them home, and she said, there's something about them. It was just too much or something, or just, you know, didn't care for them. I mean, there's certainly amazing creations, but they just don't scratch the right itch.
Oh, I get that. They are most definitely a lot. They're super rich, and you can only eat so much of them. But every now and again, it's been months since I've had one, so probably due for one, but every now and again, they're pretty good.
Well, I got to be careful to... You know, if I'm gonna be naughty, I gotta make sure I maximize. You know, so I've got a few things. I'm not a big sweet guy in general. Actually, one thing I found about those, even though they're a lot to take in, I noticed that they weren't overly sweet. The couple I tried, you know, so I did like that about them. I don't know what it is. My wife's not a fan, and so she's the only one that can really eat them. I really can't. And, if I'm going to be bad, I can't think of what would be my number one thing. Screw it. I'm going to be a bad boy. I'm trying to think what it might be. And I'm going to have to give that a lot of thought.
Yep, I can imagine. It is a tough one to figure out. Mine would probably be Reese's Peanut Butter Trees. Not the regular cups, but the trees. Or the eggs or the pumpkins. That's probably my number one. But on a different note, to change topics, have you gotten any of the Amazon deliveries by drone? I think you're in that general area that would happen. Just thought of it because I saw a drone flying over I-75. It was one of the Amazon delivery drones.
We got a traffic situation here. Somebody broke down right on 16 Mile Road here. What a mess. Anyhow, you know what? Twice they have threatened to bring something by drone, and twice they changed their mind and didn't. And I know one other person that said they were going to get something by drone, and same thing happened to them. They didn't. So I've had two myself that didn't manifest, and a third one I've heard of. And all three, they didn't end up doing it that way.
Interesting. Yeah, I know. When I'm on my way home, I often see several of them flying. I've never seen them in the morning, but I was just curious because I think I'm outside of the zone that they would do that with. But it would be interesting to see it take place, that's for sure.
Yeah, I'll certainly give it a try. Now, they threatened, the last one I did, they threatened to plop it down right in the middle of my backyard, which is fine, you know, but it was interesting. I didn't know where they were going to put it, but that, you know, that would be a good, clear, easy landing for them. But, yeah, I'm, you know, of course, you know, with my luck, they'll drop it right into a pile of dog poop.
Well, there is that opportunity also, right?
You bet. So I, you know, if I see something that's available to be delivered that way, I'll certainly try it. But like I said, I've not had luck. They just the couple of times they've said they changed their mind. So and it's funny because Steve N8NM, a friend of mine, same thing. He said, you know, oh yeah, they're going to deliver by drone. This is going to be cool, and then they didn't. So I don't know how they, you know, what they. How they decide or what they do or what makes it happen or not happen. So not heard of anyone that actually had one delivered that way.
Yeah, I'll have to ask around. I got another friend that lives in your general area. I wonder if they've gotten any delivered by drone or if John has had any because he's adjacent to you at minimum.
Well, I imagine if anyone were listening that's had one, they'd have chimed in by now. I can't think of a more of an invitation than, have you had a drone delivery from Amazon? Jump on in.
Well, I guess that answers our question.
I was waiting for somebody to key up and say, is that what that was? I shot it down with my shotgun.
Now, that's a story I want to hear.
No wonder I didn't get my Viagra. I don't even know. You can't buy that stuff on Amazon, so I have to say something. No wonder I get my socks.
Oh, man. Yeah, it would, I'm sure somebody has attempted to shoot one down. And I would like to see that news article, that's for sure.
A few years ago, we had a guy, he got banging on our door, and he says, he goes, oh, he goes, my drone, I think it went down, I think it went down in your backyard. And I says, you know, okay, you know, you're welcome to go look, but let me see the film. And he showed me the film, and the film had it clearly over the fence. Into the next person's backyard, you know, there's no way it could have dropped into my yard, but he never found it, and he was like all kind of like, you know, are you sure? I go, go look, you know, but it's not, I'm telling you, that's beyond my yard. I go, in fact, the way that thing's traveling, as high as it was, I'm guessing it's in the apartment complex. That's where I'd be looking, because there's my house. It's funny, because we got an acre of property, and then next to us is another acre. And then over the fence, off kitty corner from the next property over, there's a whole apartment complex, you know, and I think that's where it went, you know, and, you know, they would have just, you know, as soon as that thing would have hit the ground, there would have been somebody would have had eyes on and ran out and snatched it.
Which is hilarious, because if you don't really know what you're doing, no matter what, if you don't have the remote, there's not a whole lot you're going to be able to do with it. Because it's registered. It's registered with that remote. It'd be a total pain in the butt.
I mean, don't these things have, like, you know, RFID tags or something where you can track them? I mean, good God, I'd put one on mine, if nothing else, just if something like that happened.
Yeah, most of them have GPS that you'd be able to track it. I mean, unless it was an inexpensive one. But I think all the DJIs and the higher-end ones have GPS on them to track it down. I guess if the battery dies or something like that, it would go offline. But I would imagine you'd be able to find it. Who knows?
Thanks, EBF.
There's a guy that would know.
You're giving me an awful lot of credit today. What do I know?
I was thinking the same thing as I said it. That's the second time I've said that today. On the drones, you have a couple POV drones. Do those things have GPS on them? If it goes down and you can't find it or can't bring it back up, does it have GPS on it so that you can find it?
My camera drone is a DJI Mavic Air 2. That is a GPS drone, and with the gyroscope and stability and, you know, crash sensors, all that crap. That thing I could track anywhere. My FPV stuff are all, it depends. So long-range FPV drones, yes, they generally have a GPS, so if you could lose radio connection, they will fly back to where they took off. My FPV drones are all freestyle drones, so they do not have GPS on them to save weight and space, and they crash and whatever. I have beepers on them, so if the drone loses RC signal, or if I flip a switch on my transmitter, it's got a very, very, very obnoxious beeper that has a battery backup on it, so even if the battery comes unplugged in a crash, the beeper will run for like 10 minutes. Alright, so that's not on when it crashes, you turn it on, so that battery will presumably stay powered up until you get within range. This guy lost one. He was either in my backyard or my neighbor's backyard, but I think it went even beyond us I think he was underestimating where it came down, and he couldn't find it, and his battery went dead, so he couldn't track it anymore, and I'm thinking, well, that's worthless.
Go ahead,
it really depends on, you know, the model and the type of drone, and you know, did he have goggles on? Because, like, I've got these things called tiny whoops that are, like, 13 grams, 14 grams, like, tiny, tiny little things. They run on a 1S battery that's, like, 300 milliamp hour. It looks like a Tic Tac. Those have nothing on them. They're a camera with a flight controller, some motors, and a battery. So if you lose that, you're toast. The only way you're going to find it is if you see where it went down, or if you have your goggles on and you can see the camera and see what the drone's looking at. I lost one of those in my old neighborhood, and 2 days later, some lady posted on Facebook, because I was just being dumb. I flew it up super high, lost RC and goggle feed, and the thing just kind of went, and it was like 4 blocks away from my house. Some lady in the iHeart Armada group posted on Facebook. I'm like, that's mine, and I actually still have that drone hanging in the basement to this day, but it really depends on the drone make and model. If it's a camera drone, they usually are pretty easy to track, even if they crash, because the phone should log it. But if it's an FPV drone, those are pretty wild and rudimentary. All right, let's see here. Hold on. Yeah, that was part of the conversation. The next drone question, well, first of all, let me just say this. I think the Quinner between 13 and 14, maybe 12 and 14, is right now the worst stretch of road in all of Michigan. God almighty, is it horrible. Anyhow, Anthony will have some comment on that, I'm sure. The next drone question is, have you ever had an Amazon drone delivery? We were wondering. Anthony?
That section of road is pretty bad. I don't make it over there very often. Because it's pretty bad, I usually turn on 13 Mile Road, never go past 13 because the road's so bad. But yeah, Dakota, we were talking, there's that Amazon delivery center, what is that, in Hazel Park right there, that does a lot of drone deliveries now. And I saw a drone going over the expressway and was asking Sean, because that's adjacent to him, not too far. And but you've probably always lived outside of their drone delivery range, I would imagine. Over to you, Dakota.
That's what I was gonna say. Is I've never been in the battery threshold for a drone delivery. Give me a minute. I gotta take this call. I'll be back. On ADBF.
Pontiac does it now, guys. The drone deliveries. Hello, I'm back again. KCKJO.
Well, you're in Memphis, so there's no way you're getting home drone delivery. So I'm near the Hazel Park facility, so they do offer it. And then Pontiac, yeah, my buddy's in Waterford, and they threatened to give him one. Oh, look at that. The Ram's Horn's got a sign now. Crave. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Oh, okay. Cool. New restaurant. Wasn't thrilled with Ram's Horn since they closed and reopened. Anyhow, Anthony?
Tom, where are you at today? I hopped in as you were hopping out, and now you're back.
I'm sitting in front of a big green sign that says Hull Road, east-west, in Van Dyke. Had to fix a bill trap. Got done with that, and now I'm heading to my little northeast corner of the county. Well, after I wash this beast, because she's disgusting.
Are you still in? Yeah, you're in Macomb. Because Memphis straddles. You can be in either one. Depends on which side of the line. You must be this side of Boardman.
100%. I am south of Boardman, east of M-19. I am four doors down from the old schoolhouse, five if you include the police department. Anthony, I'll shoot it over to you, then shoot it back to Sean, and then do your round, then come back to me.
All right, well, I am pulling into the car wash here, so I will let you two gentlemen chat for a few minutes, and hopefully I'll be back in a little bit here with a saltless vehicle.
All righty, well, I need to do the same, I think. But I just backed in the driveway. I'm going to get inside and then figure out if I got to go do some. I might have to go do some shopping. I'll get my car washed then, I think. I get the, God damn it, I got the long antenna on the car. All right, Dakota should be back shortly. Tom will catch you. I'll be back in here maybe a little while later, but you guys will probably all be to your destinations by then. W8FU.
Well, I used a touchless, but this thing won't fit in there. My little tar cart that I had barely fit, and the sprayers hit the very tippy top of my antennas. But this full size won't fit, so now I have to succumb to washing it by hand. But I got enough salt on it, man. I think I'd make the Red Sea jealous.
NADDF.
They left us. Anthony's in the car wash, and Sean just backed into the driveway. I'm just about to get on the freeway here.
I had a feeling Sean was home or almost home, so I kind of expected that. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Have you had a chance to talk to Wyatt on Simplex?
You know what? I've only talked to him very briefly. It was the other night, and I was just telling him that I'm working on getting a small footprint repeater put up at my house that he should be able to use, but I should probably test that with him to make sure that he's able to hit it.
Yeah, he's a smart little kid, man.
Yeah, he's got the stuff down, and he's just getting started, so I'm sure he's going to find plenty of different things to do in ham radio.
Well, he put this little HT in this Pelican case, and, I mean, he only showed me a short video, but he was having trouble getting putting a hole in the top of it for to put the antenna through. I mean, he's not taking the radio apart or anything, just kind of fitting it in there so he can walk around with it. When I think he's got a microphone for it. But I'm like, well, instead of using a hot screwdriver, I said, get a drill and drill a small hole. I said, it's because it's a Pelican case. And he did that. It worked. And he sent me a video on my email through QRZ. And it looks kind of neat. I mean, that kid's got some talent, I'm telling you. Uh-oh, did you go in the hole or did I lose you on Warren? And a DBS, KCH, KJO. And a DBS, KCH, KJO. don't know if I lost repeater link or what. I'm out here though. You're in there.
Phone number's ringing, NADDF.
Alright, I'm still here. KCKKO.
I haven't stopped working since Saturday, and I don't think I'm going to stop anytime soon.
Oh, I thought I lost the link because I didn't hear anything, so I don't know. Because when you're on Detroit, it doesn't link over, so I don't know if we have a partial link loss through Central Michigan and FBI or something.
From my understanding, they're intentionally not linked. I don't know why, but that's what I heard, but I don't know if there's any truth to that.
Oh, that's why it was radio silent most of the day.
Where are you? Because my mesh passing just said KCAKJO, no discovered. I think I see your van, actually.
Yeah, what are you driving?
My white Silverado. I'm about, I don't know, a quarter mile behind you.
Oh, there you are. Yeah, that's me in the right lane. I'm just passing on 28 here. Yeah, my best chance is just sitting here, on the headrest of the passenger seat. The guide is charging right now.
Yeah, I figured I was close because it popped up KCAKJO, new node discovered, and I was like, oh. Started looking around and I saw a van.
Yeah, my other one's at the house, but that one, still didn't have a battery, so that just sits there behind my bat phone.
I've forgotten mine at home the last couple days. I finally remembered to bring it today.
Yeah, I've been getting messages here and there, you know, I do the general channel zero, whatever it is, and just blast out, so that's good morning from Memphis, and I mean, it's yip, you know, so it's working.
Yeah, it's been doing pretty good. I popped by Sean today, saw his, so they're out there. They're popping up more and more.
Yeah, I'm noticing that. I mean, I'm figuring it out. You know, I defaulted them when Eric said, you know, factory default them again, so I did. And you know, I carry the little battery one around, and I'm trying to crack open one of my old safes that has a rechargeable battery in it, so I can wire the battery in the other one.
I think that's pretty much the ticket, is just set them up as default as you can, and you get the best results. Obviously, if you had a private network, and you knew where multiple nodes were, and you knew they relayed messages properly, you could set up private channels with encryption and all that, but the way we're currently operating, I think that's the best way to go. And I have another call, so I will be back at ADDF.
Hey, KK Joe.
KFAFQN listening. Hey, this is KFAFQN. I meant this is KFAFQN listening.
KCAKJO.
KCAKJO, this is KFAFQN. How are you doing today?
Well, I just washed all the salt and gook off my work van. Now I gotta go get fuel and then home for the night. How's your schoolwork going?
It's doing good. Got my grades up. No mission assignments, and that project I sent you. I fully finished it. I had to 3D print some parts, but it's all done now.
Oh, good job.
Thank you. Yeah. It was a little project. I enjoyed doing it. I took apart the other radio and put it back together, and it works now. But today I'm going to my first amateur radio club meeting up in Lapeer.
Well, there you go. That sounds like fun. You get to meet a lot of new people.
Yeah, I'm really happy about that. I believe on for there is so many people that someone said that they're going. I think I talked to them on this computer system. It was either N8BZR, KE40ZYQ, or N8WRO. I'm not sure. I think it's one of them that said that they're going to be at the meeting.
Probably Brian, W8BZR. Oh, Tim might be there. That's N8WRO. And then the other one is Joe. That's KE40ZYQ.
Roger, yeah. Hey, what about Dean? K-A-L-E-X.
Oh, he might be working. Not sure. I'm trying to think of who else would be at the Lapeer County one.
My ear's ringing for a reason. K-E-4-Z-Y-Q.
Absolutely. Yeah, you going to the Lapeer, which club meeting is in Lapeer? Wyatt knows.
It's Lapeer County Amateur Radio Club, but it's a W8LAP one.
I'll respond to that. No, I won't be going to the meeting, but good to remember people's call signs, Wyatt. Good to hear you out there and the other gentlemen. But I just turned on the radio and scanned it and picked this up. So I always like to chime in and say hello, good afternoon, or evening, whatever, to those out there. And Wyatt, you're in the group too. So there you go.
Hey, Joe. It's Cujo. KCKJO. Yep. I'll be back in a minute, though, guys. I got to get fuel for this beast since she's sucking on fumes. I'll be back in a minute. KCKJO.
This is KFASQN. I managed to hit the repeater, the W8LAP one. In the repeater, I'm about 8 miles away from it. I think I already told you that, but I used a metal pot and the counterpoise or pose. I managed to hit it, and then I made a rat tail out of a 19-inch wire. Stripped two of the ends and wrapped it around the SMA connectors. So I'm getting pretty good now. And, I'm really excited to go to the meeting.
If you make the meeting, tell everybody that may know KE4ZYQ, I said hello, because I definitely won't be making it. And your signal through this one, I'm on the FBI 447.600. So I'm receiving you at a 10 over 9. 5 by 10 over 9. Roger.
Roger, yeah, right now I'm using echoing. But, yeah, I'm getting you at a 5-9, too. But, yeah, I think, yeah, when I talk on that repeater, my signal, I don't really know, I know what 5-9 and 5-9-9 means, but, I don't know the rest. So my signal is decent. There's a lot of static, but you will be able to, hear me good. I come on the Mount Clemens one, too. I found on my repeaters linked to that.
Yep, well, I figured you were on Echo Link from the sound of it. It gets to be a familiar sound. And I usually use the FBI linked repeaters. I usually use the Mount Clemens one, too. And Cujo's getting gas, and we'll get him in here in a minute when we leave space.
All right, Roger. I might do this later. I'm going to try to hit the Romeo repeater that's connected to this network, you could say, I guess, using the rat tail. That, I've seen that one works a lot better indoors.
Yep, QSL that, KE4ZYQ. Well, Wyatt, I got to tell you, like everybody has been probably, you are operating your license and amateur radio capability very admirable. Very good. You're very distinct, very doing the right things the right way, and call signs and identifying and interacting. If I was your father, I'd be super proud. Back to you.
Thank you, Joe. I really appreciate it. I really do. Yeah, I really appreciate it. I'm kind of at a loss words. Thank you. And I'm going to say, yeah, thank you to everybody on this repeater system or network or whatever, because, I mean, everybody helped me out a ton. But, yeah, thank you. I really appreciate it. And, yeah.
It's good to know that you're doing the right thing the right ways, learning at a young age, and you're the future of ham radio if you keep it up over time. So you're going to be the one bringing it into a different age after some of us old guys pass on, you know. We go to that radio station in the sky, hopefully. Yeah. You can't tell some of us old guys have some weird joking way, right?
Really?
You got to enjoy life while it's here. So you'll be the same way when you get older, or at least similar. Back to you.
Hey, Roger. I'm planning on starting a, I don't think it's going to work, but starting a radio club in my school. But yeah, maybe there's a repeater up in heaven, maybe.
Okay, KE4ZYQ. Well, my understanding, you don't need a lot of things that are needed down here. So, yeah, there's no hunger, there's no sadness, no sorrow, no pain, no fatigue, no tiredness, just pure perfect. So if you make it to that great place in the sky, I don't think you need a radio. You just can communicate just instantaneous. So how about that? And no interference or white noise or lack of connection. How about that?
I mean, that sounds like heaven.
Yo, let him go up first.
Well, he's got time. He's got time. He knows what's being talked about. But no pushing them, though. You enjoy your youth there, Wyatt. Enjoy the time you have with your felt friends. Non-ham radio things. You know, enjoy your youth. And I'm sure you might be involved with some sports to some degree, not necessarily real competitive, but enjoying some kind of sport, because that's fun at grade school, high school, and all. I was involved. I wasn't a star player, but I enjoyed it. I was pretty useful for most of them. So enjoy your youth. It goes by quick when you get older and older and older, so take the time to enjoy it, even non-ham radio related. Back to you.
No sad hams.
Yeah, Roger. I do football, and it was my first year last year, and we made it to the playoffs, and we versus Marysville, and oh my, they were like a college, they were a high school team. They freaking, I'm like at a loss for words. They beat us. It was 7-41. They got a touchdown at the beginning of the game in under 20 seconds. And yeah, there was a bigger kids. I mean, I have no idea what stuff they were on or what kind of practice they did, but yeah, we won our we won everything. We were like 1-7. I don't know how many games we did, but we only lost one game, and then once we versed yeah, I don't know what happened.
Yep, KE4ZYQ, these are all room case Cujo Gumback in there for filling his tank up. Well, yeah, that's great. You're participating in sports. I played, I think, 6th, 7th, and 8th. I played basketball. 7th and 8th, I played football. 9th, 10th, 11th, and 12th, I played track and football. Of course, two different seasons or two different sports. And it was fun. It was fun, the challenge, the help, the teamwork, the reason for trying to play to win, and yeah, they say some people learn more from losing than they do from winning. Winning can be easy, but you learn a lot about things when you lose, and certain things that you can improve on, and all sorts of things. But back to you there, Wyatt.
Roger, yeah, you have a very good point there. You learn more from when you lose. Yeah, that's a good point, what you can improve on and stuff. So, yeah, I heard Tom talking. You guys doubled. So I'm going to hand it over to KJO, Tom.
So, Wyatt, you play football, you're an amateur radio operator, and what else do you do? And from what I understand, did you play the high school team being in junior high? Is that how that went?
No, that was just comparing them to a high school team because how well they were performing. To be honest, it's almost like versing the NFL team. I have no idea what stuff where they are or what kind of practice they do, but yeah, they were same grades, 6th or 7th grade, but yeah, I do football, ham radio, airsoft, kind of involves ham radio, but a little listening to satellites, and I do some like computer stuff and like some electronic stuff, soldering and stuff. Oh, and aquariums.
Go ahead, Joe.
Yeah, KE4ZYQ sounds good there, Wyatt. Now, you're apparently still in grade school, I would assume, or junior high. When you get up into the high school years, what's your tentative plans for any sports or extra activity? You plan on playing basketball, track, football, or any of those? Not that most people have to. It's good if your person's able and wants to participate in sports, so just curious, do you have any tentative plans for high school age sports? Back to you.
I'll be back again in a couple of minutes, guys. I got to clear this run that I'm on. Casey at KJO, go ahead, Wyatt.
Okay, I lost you there, Wyatt. I don't hear you unless you got called away from the radio. I was curious if you're going to tentatively plan to be in sports in high school up in the higher grades.
This is KFA-FQN. I'm sorry about that. My dad was calling me about that, going to that meeting up in Lapeer, the amateur radio club thing. Sorry about that.
No, Wyatt, no need to apologize there. If you got your family and your dad, especially, if you get called away, that's understandable. So no need to apologize. Very, very understandable what you had to do there. But I was just curious, do you plan on doing any sports when you get in high school or wait and see how it goes?
Planning on doing football. If for some reason I want to do that or I can't, hockey. Our high school is just getting a hockey team.
Well, Wyatt, if you do hockey and you're able to do roller skates or hockey, you're a better person than me, because I could never do roller skates good, even though I tried as just a hobby. And I never can stand up on ice skates, no matter what age. So if you do any of that, you're better than me. But, yeah, that's good. Yeah, if you do any of the sports, that's neat. Shoot, there was something else I was going to say. I play defensive end on football. I would have loved to have been like a quarterback, not for the popularity or praise, but when I got to high school and the one I went to, they already had younger guys that were playing football up until the year I played. And the coach knew these guys being before, so I had to play defensive end, which is okay. But I could have probably been pretty accurate being quarterback because I like playing that spot. Back to you.
Yeah, Roger. It was my first year last year. So, yeah, his name was Coach Rick, and we had Coach Beebe as our defense coach. But Coach Rick knew all the players and stuff. They've been playing. I mean, my buddy Jackson, he's been playing since he was four for the same school, same everything. I guess they're more trustworthy because the coach knows them better. But hopefully in my second year, this year, like July, I'll get a new position. But I played safety. I was good at it. The playoffs, I got a couple tackles in. And then they had me playing as a tight end for a little bit. I'm good at catching, but when my hands get cold and stuff, I'm not reliable at all. And I just don't like offense. So I want to be like a corner, a defensive back, or safety again, because I just like the freedom of that position. Back over to you.
Well, Wyatt, I'll clear the frequency here. Don't tie it up too long, but thanks for talking, and good luck on everything you do, and great job on ham radio. You take care till another time if I'm blessed to talk with you and anybody else. But you have a good evening, and good school and sports and whatever. And you're doing a great job on ham radio. So thanks for the QSO. KE4ZYQ is going to be clear, but listening out.
Roger, I had a pleasure talking to you and Tom. I don't know if you're still listening, but it was a pleasure talking to you both. You guys have a good rest of your evening. I hope you guys' dinners were good. And, pleasure talking to you. I hope we get to talk again. And this is KF8SQN, 7-3-ALL, and clear.
ARPSC members, and you got a lot of rave reviews, so keep it going. And I will talk to you soon, 73 on your final. KJO.
Cujo, you and Wyatt doubled totally. Heard you both. You might want to say it one more time there, Cujo. And 7-3 to both of you, KE4ZYQ, clear.
All right, take it easy, Joe. Wyatt, what I was saying is keep doing a great job and, keep the grades up, of course. And I shared your project there with some other ham operators, and they were impressed. So keep up the good work. I'll say 73 on your final. KJO.
Roger, thank you. I appreciate it. And I don't know if you heard me say, but 73 to you. You have a good rest of your evening. I hope your dinner is good. And I had a pleasure talking with you. And I hope we get to talk again. And really quick, I have a YouTube channel, and it's called Amateur Radio Kid, and I'll say that again, Amateur Radio Kid, and then after the Amateur Radio Kid, you put my call sign, Kilo Foxtrot 8, Foxtrot Quebec, November, so the full name will be Amateur Radio Kid, and it'll be KFA-FQN. But again, pleasure talking to you, 7-3 to you, and this is KFA-FQN, clear.
WNFU.
KC8KJO from W8EAP.
Oopsie doops.
Good afternoon. Oopsie doops.
Eric, I was just going to apologize for not, I know you asked me for his number, and I completely forgot about it until I just heard you. Anyhow, I got a phone call I got to attend with. Just wanted to say that real quick. W8FU.
Oh, that's okay, Sean. I got it from somebody. Yeah, we're cool. So, it's okay. Go attend to your phone call. Anyhow, one more time, KCAKJO, this is W8EAB.
K-E-A-W-U-O.
W-8-F-U.
Did I hear you say something about the Rams horn might be reopened on your way home today from work? W8RCY is inquiring.
Yep, it's got a really pretty, fancy new sign that says Crave or Craves. I'll be going by it here in a second. And it says either Crave or Craves, and it's breakfast, lunch, dinner. And it's Craves with a K. So I don't know if that's a chain or a one-of or what, but I'll be going by it in a second here.
Okay. Sounds like Ramshorn and the people from Ramshorn probably gave it up after, you know, trying to recover from the shutdowns with COVID and everything. So, okay. Well, appreciate the info and, you know, I'll wait to respond, and then I'll let you get on your merry way.
Yeah, just sitting here at the light waiting to get out of Myers there. It just changed, so getting out on the 13-mile here. I'll be going by it here. But, it was very weird. I was trying to look them up when they first opened back up, you know, after COVID and all that stuff, And I really couldn't find any. It was almost like they were Ramshorn and Horn in name, but they weren't part of the Ramshorn organization. Because if you go to Ramshorn website, it listed every site, every location, but this one. Even though they still had the menu and the name and everything like that. And I don't know if they're going to bring back the the same staff, or if it's all new ownership, all new staff, or what they're doing. I liked it more back in the day. I don't know if things changed, if the recipe changed, the cook changed, if they were kind of going off menu a little bit. Nothing particularly wrong with it, but I just wasn't. Yeah, here we go. I'm going to get in the left turn lane here. Crave. Yeah, with an exclamation point, K-R-A-V-E, breakfast, lunch, dinner. And I can peek inside, and it looks like it's got they got some artwork on the wall, and you know what, I'm going to go through the lot. I don't give a crap, because I'm curious. I wonder if I can peek in here and see how far along they are. I can just kind of peek in, so looks like they're keeping the basic interior the same. Oh, they got the counters ripped out. They got some new. Yeah, it looks like they're going to be changing it a little bit, but it's staying relatively similar.
Okay, well, I was gonna, if it was open, I was gonna swing by there either Thursday or Friday and check it out, see what it was all about. But if it looks like it's still under construction, I'll wait. But yeah, I thought they were just closed for remodeling or something like that. And even their DoorDash site was still up for a while, and then it finally disappeared. And now they're not even listed on the map, you know, Google Maps or anything like that. So I was wondering what happened to it. But I heard your conversation on the way home that you went past it, and, you know. So I was just wondering what that was all about. But, all right, I got a name to work with, and I'll just kind of track it and follow it and see where it goes. And if so, I'll take a cruise up there. I'll take the bus up there one day. And with the weather getting nice, I can definitely get out more and check it out.
W-8-E-A-P.
Good evening, Eric. Yeah, it doesn't, it looks like it's going to, they're going to try to go for a little bit up scale from Ramshorn, but not anything, doesn't look like they're going for high fluting or nothing, but we'll know when they actually open. It looks like they're a ways off, but they're moving along, but at least we know what's coming. Eric, how you doing? Did you, you heard me earlier. I apologize for not getting you that number. I've had a hell of a weekend.
Yeah, no problem there. It all worked out. I got his number. So, a little bit of info. If you're talking about Crave with the V larger and in red with an exclamation, there is one officially on the website on Genesee Street in Lapeer, so that's what you're talking about. And the Crave Special Breakfast, $10, so yeah, it's right in line. Whatever, normal cost.
Yeah, that's exactly it. They got the Crave with a big V in red and exclamation point, so sounds like it must be the same place if they're using the same sign. So I'll have to go to their website and assume that it's going to be a similar affair. So I don't think anybody would put in anything too highfalutin down here. I mean, they got to play to their audience, right? So, cool. Donald?
Good evening, Mr. EAP. Long time no talk. You say there's one up in Lapeer. So, I'll have to look for it on, you know, I'll have to check out the website and stuff like that, see what it's all about. But, I'm kind of looking for another place for breakfast in the morning. And Sean on his way home mentioned it, so that's why I chimed in and asked. Okay, well, I'll get to it. And thanks for your time, Sean, for checking that out. Appreciate it. And Eric, I hope you're doing well. And I'll let you two continue on if there's anything else you guys have to talk about. Me, I'm just chilling right now. So we'll catch everybody later. W8RCY, we'll be listening.
Yeah, I'm plugging along. Yeah. A lot of things going on right now, but I'm plugging through it. But, even sat out on my balcony today. I had to shovel this. Someone shoveled the snow off my balcony, and I sat out there. It's 45 degrees out. Got some fresh air. But, I just heard you guys talk. I figured I'd throw that in there. I looked it up. There's Crave Kitchen, too, with a K. And there's another Crave Restaurant spelled with a C. So there's like three or four different ones out there, but not the one with the red V and the exclamation point. But hopefully in the next couple of weeks I'll try to hit one of these Saturday morning breakfasts, but I'll have to have Dave come pick me up, though. So, anywho, all right, I'm going to eat dinner here in a minute. I just thought I'd key up and say hello, so talk to everybody later. W-8-E-A-P.
Yeah, I was going to ask how you're coming along there, Eric. How you doing? You got any of your mobility back? You able to move around and wipe your butt and all that good stuff?
And not without a special tool. But, yeah, I'll text you the latest update. Anyhow, all right, you guys have a good one.
Well, you really didn't have to answer that. I was just being funny. But now I know you're going to have some serious mobility issues for a while this recovers. And I am curious whether, I know they said it could take time. I'm curious if that, if there's been any improvement. All right, I got groceries, some frozen, although I don't think that's a serious problem today. But I do want to get the groceries inside and start unpacking. I'll be back in here in a little bit. Look for your text. W8FU.
While you're on the air, W8RCY has an inquiring question. How was your turnout on Sunday at your breakfast gathering out there in New Haven, I believe it was?
We filled the place, let's say about 25. It was really nice. It was really a nice turnout. We did well.
So that's 25 plus people who brought their significant others, then I take it, correct? Because the place, I mean, I've seen the place. I've been up there, but it's been a while. And, I'm not even sure. No, I was thinking someplace else. Excuse me, brain fart. Looking at the photographs of it, though, it looks like a small place, and I was just wondering how many you were able to get in there and so on and so forth. So that's good. And we just found out today that the old Ram's Horn that we used to go to down here on Jaquinder has a new name, and it's, I guess there's a place up in Lapeer called Craze, capital K-R-A, capital V-E with a big exclamation point on it. They have a website, and we're looking at that restaurant. Sean's going by it today, and I was going to go by it to check it out either Thursday or Friday, but they're not open yet. They're still under construction. It's the old Ram's Horn. So that Ram's Horn is now gone.
Yeah, you get up there where you're competing against Lucky's, and Lucky's is real famous. I don't know if you've ever been to Lucky's, but it's very, very famous. That's a good one. And locally, my favorite steakhouse is Longhorn. I love that one. That's so good. Fairly priced, and they do a great job. And there's one in Chesterfield. That's our favorite fast food type steakhouse. Not bad for pricing, and the food's pretty darn good. They do a great job on the steaks and that one. But you get up that way, it'll be interesting to see how that place does against Lucky's, because Lucky's is kind of a staple.
Yeah, Lucky's rings a bell. But, I'm so old, I remember the old places up as you go along the water line, 29, 25, whatever it is. I remember places like Henry's. What's the other place? Oh, God. Now I'm drawing a brain fart. Son of a gun. Surf North, Henry's. Sid's, Blue Water Inn, that place is abandoned. I can go all the way up to the River Crab, and River Crab was originally Stu Cunningham's Fisherman's Wharf back when I was a kid. But there was one other place, Johnny Liga's. My parents used to go there, and there were pictures of my parents and my family in there, even me as a toddler. But those pictures, I believe, are long gone. But, yeah, there's a lot of great restaurants, you know, throughout Chesterfield, New Baltimore, and, you know, all the way up the coastline to St. Clair, Marysville, for sure. But I just wanted to pop in, say hi, and I'm glad your turnout went well, and excuse me, I'll be getting in touch with you in about a month after I get back from a race in Sebring. I'll send you a text message about getting my radios updated. It's not much. It's just little Mickey Mouse stuff. There's only one frequency going in, and the rest is just changes and adjustments, but it's pretty much self-explanatory.
Okay, that won't be a problem. Make a note, and I'll call, and then I've got updated DMR contact list, and I kind of standardized the talk groups amongst all the radios that I programmed, so what happened to yours, and it happened to a lot of them in the early days, I would delete all the contacts and then just reload the contacts. Well, when you delete the contacts, it takes away all the talk groups. So I have since got that little issue figured out so it doesn't happen again. So, but on yours, I'm going to have to go back in there and punch in all the talk groups manually, which isn't a problem. So, and then there's another one over there in Pontiac. It's got some attention. It's over there by the Sheriff's Department. Talk group 8901, 8902. I'll put those in there for you, too, for the DMR side of things.
Okay, I appreciate that, but I just really need the basics. I don't really need to go overboard. Because of my health and mobility issues, I don't see myself being able to join and contribute properly to the ARPSC, so that's off the radar for now. I've got, like I said, I've got two events down with four to go for this year, but they're spaced out between March and the end of September. First weekend in October, but yeah, I'll have my HT, but you know, you'll have like 2-3 months to get this done in. And again, like I said, there's no rush, there's no press for anything like that, but I do appreciate it, and I do appreciate you being the talent that you are to do what you do. And also heard you got your new toy in. Have you had a chance to play with it, or are you still like reading the instructions? It didn't come with it, I think you said.
I'm sitting here at my desk. I've got it halfway programmed. It's the same, but it's different. You know, everybody calls things different, so everybody does, you know, formats a little different, things of that nature. So far, I like almost everything about it. There's one feature when I see it that they're not that fond of, but they claim they're going to have it fixed. And it's fairly new technology, but it does everything they say it's going to do. So I'm pretty happy. So we'll see. It was looking back at it, it was crazy, stupid money for what it is. But I guess for what it does, you know, nowadays it's not so much the radio as it is what it does and the software licenses, and those add up fast. The trunking is expensive, encryption is expensive, even DMR2, which is what we all use around here, they charge for that, they charge for P25 CAI, they charge for scanning, they charge for the color head, everything's got a sticker to it. So, I think it's, you know, it's obviously the first version. I think that this is going to be the future. I'm just going to probably regret doing it in a year or two because I'm sure it's going to get updated more and more and more. But I had ants in my pants, so I got her.
Yeah, but you're on the cutting edge of technology that's not familiar in this area, so you'll you know, you'll be ahead of the game on everybody else when this, you know, type of technology advances to radios here in America. So definitely so. All right, well, I guess I just popped in to say hi, and glad, like I said, the breakfast thing was a huge success for you. And like I say, on my weekends now, I'm usually right there at 23 and 94. My girlfriend lives off of Donner Road there, right by the Sheets. And so if I'm up there on a weekend or something like that, maybe I will, maybe I won't, but we'll see how that plays out throughout the summer. She won't come because she doesn't really get into these things. It's just hard for her to just even push the little button on the radio just to talk to me on my one DMR channel that I have with Moto Turbo and Motorola. So, all right, you take care. I'll let you finish up with your two, so I didn't mean to, if you were trying to look for somebody, I just had the opportunity to jump in. Take care. Hello to Miss Marion, and have a good evening. W8RCY.
Yeah, the next one in the northeast up here at Chesterfield in Baltimore, it'll be at the same place. We're going to try, I can tell you when the next one is. It's the second Sunday of the even month. So February was 2, April will be 4. So it'll be the second Sunday of April, same place, same time, same whatever. So, you know, it hasn't been published or announced yet, but that's our goal for the northeast thing is, every even Sunday, every even month Sunday, second Sunday. So that's our goal. And basically it is. And also, too, for your significant other, the girls don't talk about radios. Matter of fact, they make fun of us. So they all get in their little groups and stuff, and they, you know, make fun of us. And so it's kind of fun, and they enjoy it, and they compare notes about, you know, who's got the bigger problem. So, good time was had by all in good fun, and you know, we got to meet Bill and N8SA or NS8A, whatever he is, you know, the Fusion guys up there. And so basically anybody that's a radio geek is welcome, and spouses of radio geeks are welcome too. And so she probably would get in well with the girls that make fun of us. So all right, I'll talk to you later. Have a good evening. W8B.
One last question. Bloody Marys are available at that hour of the morning?
I would assume so. I know they have a liquor license.
I'll mark it on the calendar. I don't want a Bloody Mary, but a good Southern Comfort and Verner sounds good about that time of the morning. All right. Again, thanks for your time. Good talking to you. Hope you're able to thaw out a little bit today. W8RCY, we're clear.
Okay, and start working on her. You know, maybe the girls can all start a support group later. WBD. They could even have their own Discord channel. Wouldn't that be funny, Tim? Later.
I'll mark it down on John's to-do list. In AWRO.
Wives of radio geeks. That'd be funny. All right, later.
Thanks, Tim. It did work. It doesn't work based on mobile this far. I'll talk to you later. W8C.
Copy that. N8WRO, clear.
This is KFA-FQN listening. Hello, Foxtrot 8, Foxtrot 2. KFA-FQN listening.
Thank you.